left off there in chapter 1 of Philippians. I know it's surprising we're still there, and I appreciate the anticipation, but we're so thankful to God. And we left off, we got through 7 verses over the past few weeks, praise the Lord, and I believe we just touched on it, I want you to know. And God just continued to give us the increase in it. But last time we got together, we left off with Brother Paul and his heartfelt prayer of remembrance of these sweet Philippians here. See, they were always, and let's think of this as we go along here, who he's speaking to. You know, this is the joy book. These are the Philippians, the lovers of the race. They love to run. You love to run, you're going to love the Lord. You're going to love to suffer with Him too, because you're going to understand what the sufferings are. We're going to maybe touch on that tonight. But they were always a joy in every prayer, in every remembrance. And it was so sweet to my heart, as we read last week in the 6th verse. We'll read it here in the 10th verse. He encourages them in it. Till the day of Jesus Christ. Till the day of Jesus Christ. He wants them to finish with a full joy. He wants them not to just be this bright momentary flame and then die out. He's encouraged them to hold that fast which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. There's nothing more beautiful, brothers and sisters, truly, than watching you run. I pray that we understand there isn't anything more beautiful. There isn't anything more valuable to God. There isn't anything more precious to the Father than to see His sons become the mature sons of God and enter in and continue in His very best. It's awesome. Thank God for that message that so touched our hearts. But let's never forget why they're such a joy. As it said last week, their fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now. Full potential, brothers and sisters. They didn't leave it. It wasn't that they were excited about one thing and then left it for another. They stayed with the stuff. They understood that God called them into the very best, into the meat of the gospel of Christ, the grace of God. And there isn't anything better. There's nothing that touched their heart that could be any greater at all. And by God's grace and grace alone, they continued in it and they ran. And how sweet that they didn't. You never hear of these ones wrestling as the Galatians. You never hear about them kicking up against things or getting lost into gifts like the Corinthians. Their joy. Their joy because their fellowship with Brother Paul is in the gospel of Christ. God help us in that. Isn't that precious? God help us not in just this meeting, and that's so precious that it is in this meeting. Our fellowship is in the gospel of Christ, but in your relationships as husband and wife. Do you know that your brother and sister in the Lord even before that? Amen. That's the eternal. How about with our friends and our children, grandchildren? All of those relationships. Brothers and sisters, if it's not built on the Word of God, it's going to fail. It's going to disappoint you. It's going to come to nothing. I have a dear one to my heart. And there's a situation that later on in life, these ones that are close to him, they thought they had a really great family and money and different things have pulled it apart. See, when it's not built upon the love of God and the Word of God, you have nothing. It is built upon the sinking sand, the shifting sand, and it will go down. It will. God help us to understand that in our relationships, brothers and sisters, that our conversation, our manner of life with one another, let it be the Word of God. Let it be pleasing to Him. And I'm telling you, it'll be profitable and beneficial to us as we yield to the Lord that He is our conversation, that the things of God are truly our relationship and what we share, even in our daily lives with our family and those that we love so in the Lord. But brothers and sisters, that full potential, that fellowshipping in the gospel, let's always remember it's because it's who we are in Christ. Let's always remember where we are seated. That's in the heavens in Christ. And if that glory be lived and embraced, brothers and sisters, we will finish with a full joy. You may be disappointed at times. Things may hurt you. But there'll still be a continuing joy that at the end, praise the Lord, you will sing, "I'm glad I did." Now, tonight we're going to see even more encouragement in this. And the encouragement to be completely, fully finished in that work till the day of Jesus Christ. Paul is urging them on as he is urging us on in love. Be who you are in Christ Jesus. Be who you are. He'll do it. He gave it to you. He'll perform it. And he will finish it. And you think about it. He even called them Philippians. He already named them. Brothers and sisters, I believe we have that name. The lovers of the race. It's there. Praise God, he's already done it. He's given us that ability. He's given us that desire. He's given us that grace. All we do by, again, his enabling is enter in and just live who we are in Christ. Let Christ Jesus live in us and we will run well because we have the blessed assurance of the grace of God. I believe I will finish with full joy. Not because of me, but because of God and his power and his will and his might. Amen? Amen. If any of us are relying upon my goodness, my strength, my effort, my knowledge, you're toast. It's not going to happen. It just won't. It will not be attained. Praise God, it's attained by the grace of God. And he sees that for me. He saw that in ages past for me to take. He's wanted it. He's given every provision. He's given me the very power of his might to run and to run well and to apprehend the grace of God and abound in the grace of God more and more to understand that he works exceeding abundantly above all I ask or think. Praise his name. That's the power who lives in us. Now, Paul, by grace, we're starting to see here, and we'll see more and more, he displays the heart of a virtuous woman, truly of the virtuous woman. The deep longing to be used to nurture and supply not only the family of God, but specifically the bridal body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. I'm thankful for Brother Paul. See, he went back to establish the churches. You think about the second missionary journey. He went back to establish the churches. He didn't just go out to preach to every, because he knew better than that. It wasn't the calling of the time anyways, and it's still not yet, but to every creature. Amen? Amen. God help us to stand and understand that we are not in the kingdom age. It's defeating so many of God's precious people. I believe that it's the hook one that the enemy is using the most anymore to get people off into a good. But really, yes, there is in whatever Christ and however he has preached. But brothers and sisters, we know that this is the mark and to press towards this mark for the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And that's what God has called us to. But we understand that Brother Paul has this desire that God has given to him. But we have to understand this as well, too. When we read the Word of God, I hope we understand he's speaking to us. We understand this, that his Word is alive. It's real. It's alive today. We're feasting upon the Word right now. God has called us. And not just saying living waters, but he has called his people. He's called even mankind. I would that all men be saved and come to a full knowledge of the truth. That calling is still out there. But thanks be to God, we know that he's calling us to grow up into him in all things. And this is not only for Paul here, but this is also to them that love his appearing. I preached this out in Kansas City this weekend. Are we not to follow Paul as he followed Christ? Amen? In what? In just the things that we pick and choose? How many times we're going to see throughout the Word of God to follow him. Be ye followers of me. He wasn't magnifying himself. He was magnifying. Remember he says, I am what I am by the grace of God. He was magnifying grace. He's magnifying the work of the Lord. The very power of his might again that worketh freely in them that want and yield to it. Say, Lord, I want this. I do. I will yield by your grace. Bring this power. Bring this yielding. Bring this pleasing life to live in me. Well, this sweet mark that we see of faith and love in Brother Paul, we need to follow it. And we need to guard and to give ourselves over through the submission to Jesus Christ. And to not bring any charge against the gospel of Christ by his grace. To be saints that are loving salves to the body. Restorers, coverers, suppliers of the grace of God. And I believe that that so perfectly sets us up for this increase that will begin here tonight in verse 8. That brings us into the depths, glorious depths. That this truly is the relationship and the call through Brother Paul. And brothers and sisters, by God's grace for us, that these are words that are shared between truly a bridal body. Okay? Let's go ahead and read verse 8. For God is my record, how greatly I long after you all in the bowels of Jesus Christ. What do you think? I think that's something. And I appreciate how this brother starts it out, encouraged by the Holy Spirit. He said, for God is my record. He doesn't say, I swear to God. Don't do that. Just realize that Paul is realizing here that, Lord, thou knowest. That Paul is realizing that God knows my heart. Matter of fact, that God gave me my heart. That God gave me these desires and this love for these people and his love for you. And he says here, how greatly I long after you in the bowels of not me, but Christ Jesus himself. How beautiful. How wonderful. This is Christ's very desire in Paul. It's Christ's very desire in us. Because we don't live anymore. Christ liveth in me. And for us to be illuminated and going after and desire the things of the Father, the things of the kingdom, the things of eternity, it has to be the life of Jesus Christ. Because the Word of God says that there is no man that come after me. There's none that do good. There's none that desire my way. It has to be my life. He's it, isn't he? Jesus Christ, full of grace and truth. And praise the Lord, when we accepted him as Savior, he came to live in us, to bring us full of grace and truth. Hallelujah. Thank the Lord that this wonderful power of this love of God is in us. Now, how greatly I long after you. Hear these words. Hear these words. See, these are the words that are really, if you think about them in this day and age, if somebody naturally speaking came up to you and said, how greatly I long after you, you'd say, that's a little weird. I think we need some space. And then going into my bowels, I mean, my goodness, we got a problem. But what this is and is so precious is, this is the language between a husband and wife. And this is between Paul and saints of like precious faith. This is, he's talking, this is our body, brothers and sisters. This is the body within the body that God is calling and pleading with his people to take. Will you take that place? Will you take that place at my feet? Will you come out from among them? Will you be separate with me? Will you come? Will you say, I will go? Will you rise up, my love, my fair one, and come away? This is the company. This is the language, the love language that truly is shared between this body. And I am praying fervently, truly, for not just this meeting, but all those that truly and fervently have a desire to go on into God's best and to truly win him as bridegroom. This will be evident. This will be something that will freely flow out of our lives, that we want to see each other run well. We want to see each other glory in our tribulations also. We don't want to see anyone fall to the wayside. We want to be restorers. We want to be the coverers. We want to be, by God's grace, the precious salve, the ointment, to bring to that brother or sister in need. As we read back there in James, the ones that are full of faith, that have hands that are anointed. And I pray that we have the anointing hands to come in faith and to pray for one another, to pray for them that are sick, that they would rise up, become healed, hallelujah, and run well. Now, this is what he's getting at here, and this is what Paul is saying, that how greatly I long after you. There's a panting in them words. There's a desire for a finishing in one another. And this is Christ's longing in Paul's heart. And it's so exposed even further in the Song of Solomon in the fourth chapter. He describes his love so intimately for her. He describes every detail of her body and how altogether lovely she is to him. But see, you not only hear these words in Brother Paul as he speaks these, you feel them. Do you not? Do you not see? I mean, this brother's in prison. He could be thinking of a lot of different things, couldn't he? No, because the Spirit's got him. He's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. They thought he was a prisoner of that ward or that whatever that was. He's a prisoner of Jesus Christ. And God is supping with him and encouraging him on, brother, these are the words of life that we're going to write to the Philippian saints. The ones at 1701 South Sherman tonight at 7:37 that want to hear this by God's grace because they want to be encouraged to continue on as the lovers of the race. Amen? Amen. Praise the Lord. His word is alive. It's the only thing that is alive. Everything else is dead. And praise the Lord, it quickens us. It inspires, enlightens, illuminates, whatever you want to say, to run and to run well. And praise God, to rise up and to praise Him. And that's why we can rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But brothers and sisters, understand this as well too. These bowels. He's not speaking here of indigestion. He's speaking here of the most fruitful region of the body. I appreciate thinking about this. Yeah, in love, your stomach does some flip-flops, but this is far more than that. This is the fruitful region. This is the one that has the intimacy in the Spirit with Him to know Him as husband and wife. And we note again before we move on, it's all in Christ. This is the heart of Jesus Christ. This wasn't anything of Paul. It's there for us. He says, and not unto me only, but to all them also. All them also that love His appearing. And I believe we have that encouragement in our lives. We want to not just see Jesus. We want to embrace Him. We want to kiss Him. We want to worship Him, to draw nigh in that fervent love to kiss our wonderful Lord. But we thank Him that this is just as the Ephesians, just as us in Christ, it never, ever changes. So let's go ahead and read verses 9 through 11. And this I pray, that your love may abound yet more and more. Boy, I tell you, he's a sergeant at arms, isn't he? He's not going to let them just sit down and say, okay, I've got it. Huh? No, there's more. There's always more. Isn't that wonderful? Praise the Lord. See, when we think that we've learned this thing and can go and sit out and say, well, I'll come to church when I want. I don't need a fellowship. No, you do not know this message. You have not received this message. You do not embrace this message. It will be evident because there will be a joy unspeakable and full of glory. And you can't help but be around the people of God that love the Lord in this same manner. You'll do whatever it takes. If by any means, Brother Paul, as he said here to him, how greatly I long after you. Sure, that was in spirit, but it was even physically. He wanted to be with these people. He was stuck there in Corinth all that time when he was writing the letter back to Ephesus, which was so funny. And he wanted to get back to them, didn't he? He said, Lord, you got me holed up with all these nuts and little kids and they're running around. Henri. I want to be, but you know, the Lord had him be still and said, you know, I have something here for you. What wonderful scripture, those sweet Corinthian letters that were written as well too. Praise God. See, it's all profitable, isn't it? All the Word of God is. It's teaching us. We're growing up in it. And, you know, sometimes we think, well, it's like when we were studying James here not too long ago. I know a few rolled their eyes. Oh, what do I need James for? Oh my goodness. God help us, huh? All the Word of God. And I am confident, and I appreciated my brother saying that in Kansas City. Not only salvation in every scripture, you'll find the bride of Christ. I'm confident in every scripture, but it's just going to take all the eternities to come and it'll still never exhaust it. Man, oh man. It's so good. All right. So let's go ahead and read again, 9 through 11. "In this I pray that your love may abound yet more and more in knowledge and in all judgment, that ye may approve things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense till the day of Christ, being filled with the fruits of righteousness, which are by Jesus Christ unto the glory and praise of God." Now, you think about this, brothers and sisters. These ones have always been a joy unspeakable to Him. Truly, such a delight to His heart. But again, He's encouraging them for more and more superabounding love. Superabounding. I mean, and these people were lovers, weren't they? I mean, to think of His writing to them, every prayer, every remembrance, it's a joy. Don't stop. Don't stop. It's even going to be greater. It's going to be more beyond. I don't know how He does it, but that's just God. He just does that. It gets better. You think, you know, how could it be? Well, as you go on with the Lord, it's kind of exciting to close your eyes at night, because if you don't see Him in the morning, by God's grace, you can expect the better. And it's the truth. It is the truth. It might be a big old trial to meet you on the foot of your bed that next morning. But you know the Word of God. You know the love of God. See, that's the knowledge and the judgment, the discernment, all of those things. See, you'd be nuts to suffer together with Him if you didn't see the great love of God. You would. Amen? Amen. But we understand it's a privilege. We understand it's the plan of the Father. I don't know how many of you had a sweet natural dad in your life and someone who really loved you and said, well, this is the way it's going to be. You're going to do these things. And maybe you didn't understand, but you knew your dad loved you. And you went and you did these things. You applied them to your lives. And I think of the godly dad that I had and how much wisdom that God gave him in raising children and the different things. And he would tell us these things. There was no forcing, but it was sure an encouragement. There was a switch behind it once in a while too. But I'm telling you, what he saw, the vision, the plan. And I'm thankful to God. Naturally speaking, I'm proud of my brothers and sisters. But that doesn't mean anything in the light of eternity. But there's an application to it. There's a testimony to it. Godly parents that love their children, but how much more the godly God of all, our Father, Abba Father, our dad, so loves us. And here's the instruction. Praise the Lord, never changed. There's no doubts. It's proved. It's His perfect, perfect word for every man. Every man. Now, he's encouraging them on to more love. And this abounding love means more quality and more quantity. Not just more of it, but the quality. More intimacy. Bring me into even that more intimacy with you, Jesus. We'll touch on that in a minute. But let's go and the Lord gave me this verse. It was so sweet. Romans 15:13. And I didn't know, but we were out there at the 100th anniversary. But my mother told me when we got back home, she said this was the last verse that Brother Copley preached on. And I thought, well, how precious. That was the last verse I preached on at the 100th anniversary. So thanks be to God. But it is. It's just such a magnificent verse. It's a finishing verse. It's the way it is. Now the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace in believing. See, He's so complete. All joy. Super abounding. More and more. See, I mean, He is He's a lover of lovers. He keeps coming at us. He keeps wanting more. His inheritance is in the saints. And this is what He wants. The Father wants that double portion. Thanks be to God, He wants that double portion. And it's all out there for us as well too. But all joy and peace in believing. See, there's no other place but in believing. That ye may abound in hope. There He is. The God of hope. Abound in Him. Because we go back to understanding that He's called us to be the lover of the race. Abound in that, brothers and sisters. Abound in what He's put in your heart. Because we go back to verse 6 and we read that it says, being confident of this very thing, that He which hath begun a good work in us will perform that good work in us until the day of Jesus Christ. He doesn't just throw it around there. He's exact. He's specific. He knows exactly what He's doing. You've got a promise on your life that's so incredible. Matter of fact, it's blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. You know how much you're worth to Him? The life of His Son. And that says it all. Amen? Amen. Okay, He's fully invested in us. He gave everything for us. That you may abound in hope. And here it is. Through the power of the Holy Ghost. Power of the Holy Ghost. Okay? So now we go back to this. And we see the super abounding life. Talked about it last week. A life yielded to the Holy Ghost. Will take the love of God and shed it abroad in our heart. We won't grow cold in it. It'll be there. Sometimes we don't feel certain ways. Sometimes it might be bleak. Sometimes it might be dry. It doesn't matter. But His love is always the same. And that love that's shed abroad in our heart, it's not necessarily my love for Him. I want you to understand that. But His love for me, it's unchanging. His superabounding love for us, oh my goodness. But see, that's what makes us quickened, alive. Gives us hope. That's why we abound in hope. It's not my goodness. It's not my love. Because, you know, my love goes like this sometimes. But His is just like... I can't lose it every turn. I love you, honey. I love you. Come on. Come on. I love you. Amen. Doesn't matter. He just loves. He absolutely loves. Superabounding it is till He come. See, again, He's telling us this is who we are, brothers and sisters. Finish now with the full joy. Don't become complacent. Don't sit on your laurels, forgetting those things which are behind. We're going to read about that in a minute. See, it's all together. It all fits so perfectly. Yes, it's in one chapter, but it's throughout the Word of God, isn't it? It's line upon line and line upon line. And He builds that perfect masterpiece of His Word in our lives. And it's so wonderful how He does this. But there's much more every day and every breath and every thought and every circumstance with Him. And we always remember the full of the Holy Ghost life is how it all comes about. Yielding to the Comforter. See, by God's grace, I want to submit to that. I want comfort in my life, don't you? Let me tell you something. This world needs a lot of comfort right now. And see, they're turning to the wrong place. They're turning to man whose breath is in his nostrils, here, there, and everywhere. What man can do for me? No, it's what God did for you. And in that, that will take care of it. By God's grace, it comes in and it just lives. It's just what it is. But this is Brother Paul's prayer. And it's the same as it gets over there in the Ephesus, that we come into the breadth, the length, the depth, and the height. Knowledge of the love of God. Isn't that amazing? Praise the Lord that we would know the love of God. It's not some mystery that's out there. He's embraced us in it. And He wants us to know Him. He wants us to know this undying, unending love and how magnificent it is. See, when we first come to love the Lord, we see Him as Savior. You saved me. You're the Lamb of God. You died upon that cross for me. And then I see how wonderful I have a Father. I've been made at that moment. I'm a child of the King. I'm an heir of God. Hallelujah. I'm invited, not at a later time, at that moment, to come boldly to the throne of grace. Because He wants me to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So I'm going to have grace. I can't grow without it. So right from the very beginning, here's all the grace you'll ever need. Why? Because my purpose, my plan, the provision is for you to grow up into me in all things. Amen? Amen. I want you to be complete. This is why it's always about all. It's always about full. It's always about super abounding. Come on in. Live who you are in me. Let Christ reign in you. Don't be sheepish. Follow Paul as he followed Christ. What a sweet brother. I know it wasn't the brother. It was the treasure in the earthen vessel. But he allowed the treasure. You know what the treasure is? It's the grace of God. He allowed the grace of God to rule and reign in his life. And what beauty became. Amen? Full beauty. Ready beauty. I'm ready to be offered. Time of my departure is at hand. Hallelujah. And not for him only. I believe it. I believe by God's grace. He told me that. Follow this vessel. Chosen vessel unto me. I enabled every bit of him. I'll enable every bit of you. I'll give you the precious thorns. I'll give you your downsetting. I'll give you all the uprisings as well too. I'll give you everything you need. Trust me. And you're going to finish with joy too. And you will have an exalted rank of righteousness, the crown. Right here. Got it? Praise the Lord. We got it. See, by His grace, this is what we have. Hold that fast. Now, the height of this knowledge of His love is truly this intimate husband-wife knowledge he's getting at here. And he goes on to say, in all judgment. That's complete. There's nothing lacking again in it. Fully tried, discerning love, wise love, fully grown love, mature in wisdom and experience. I think about natural husbands and wives that really love one another and get along. They become best friends. They're companions. They work together. They get in the yoke together. Unfortunately, I see most of the time, one's pulling that way and one's pulling that way. And you got something, so I need that. And it's the opposed and opposites because they're not moving with true mature love. Mature love works together. Mature love prefers the other before self. And does. See, and that's how it was. See, He first loved us. He preferred us. And we love Him because He first loved us. And as we really fall in love with Him, the love of the Father comes to live and reign in us that we are willed and do of His good pleasure. Isn't that amazing? To see how that love is reciprocated? The love of God, not our natural love, but the love of God, who we've been called, us in Christ. Us in Christ. Yes. So, we get to this point where this love becomes grown. This is no little sister here, brothers and sisters. This is a ready, virtuous Shulamite. You read about her in the Song of Solomon. This is exercised love. This is love that's been put into action. This isn't love that's just in words. A lot of people can write some neat poetry. And I like poetry. And I think sometimes, brothers, I'm going to give you a little hint here. Write a letter. It helps. Once in a while. Make sure you think about it before you give it to her too. She'll save it. But more importantly, the follow through in word. Not just in word, but in deed and in truth. Amen. Our actions. What we do, the little things. You know? And how many little things He does all day long. Sister was telling me she went up to a little camping trip and how she was just asking the Lord, I'd like to take some pictures of some animals. And I think He brought her every animal almost known in Colorado right across her lens. And she said, and they even posed for me. I thought that was pretty special. So, but you know, sometimes He's not going to give you that parking place right at the front door. Matter of fact, there might not even be a parking place on the lot. It might be way over yonder. But His love never changed. He's teaching you something. Amen. Amen. All right. Now, this love, again, brothers and sisters, is effectual. This love is tried through trial and temptation, through abounding and abased times, yet full, suffering need, but yet in all things it's content with Jesus Christ. The full overcomer seeks the superabounding agape love, see, which is God's very love, above everything and in everything. See, these joy saints, they don't wrestle with the love of God. They just embrace it by His grace. Whatever they face. See, whatever we face, brothers and sisters, you know, the world calls it half full, half empty, all that type of thing. Whatever we face, we can embrace the love of God in it. Lord, You meant this for my good. You're doing this because You said, I will perfect that which concerns You. And that perfecting is finishing, completion. That He loves us so that these things have to be. Honey, embrace them for your life. I know that you did not want to go into that fiery furnace. I know you did not want to necessarily go into that lion's den. But aren't we thankful that truly, when these are the sufferings for His sake, not our self brought on ones, but truly the suffering for His sake. Isn't it beautiful to know that this suffering is the most magnificent reward of glory that could ever be bestowed upon Him and also bestowed upon you? Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. This is what it's about. So you remember the church of Ephesus in Revelation 2. It said there that they had labored much. They had great works. They proved them that were apostles and who were not. They knew the truth. But their love grew cold. Their love grew weary. And they missed the best part. Specifically, it says, because I have one thing against you. You've left your first love. See, abounding love never misses it because it lives the best every single day. And abounding love, you can't miss the evidence of it. There's a joy. There's always a joy. Praise the Lord. Even in sorrow, there's still even the whimper. But I know He loves me. I know He loves me. I know He's meant this for my good. I know that His grace is sufficient. Amen? Amen. And see, brothers and sisters, that brings us then to verse 10, which is the approving the excellent. See, the testimony of the effectual working of His love. This is the evidence. And the evidence is that it's always sincere. The word here, sincere, comes from sincere or clear to the light. There's no pretense. There's no thought to want to be seen or noticed as an individual, in a sense, me. Not to be necessarily even appreciated or thanked for things. But you just do it for love's sake. Amen? You just do it because you love. It's a wonderful place to arrive and to continue on. And this is what the joy was that Paul was being so thrilled with in these saints, is that love is their motivator. It's the reason, again, because He first loved us. That's why we live for Him. Now, this word approve in the 10th verse, it means that you may prove or test it. And it goes on, it means the things that are better and more excellent. Did you hear that? Approve, test, try the things that are better and more excellent. See, there was a better thing for us that was given. Amen? Amen. We know that in Hebrews. A better thing for us. Well, let me tell you something. This better thing is going to be proved in those that want to apprehend it. It's going to be proved, brothers and sisters. And it's going to be proved in those suffering together with Christ. See, Paul, we're going to get into maybe tonight, I believe, a few of the verses. But he's going to tell them here in a moment, don't be troubled by my suffering. It's precious. This is the way it's going to be. I see that it's the love of God first that gets me to embrace these sufferings because I understand His plan. I understand the purpose of God. And I understand that this love causes me to apprehend the Lamb. And to be a joint heir, the requirement, not a requirement, but the need in our lives is to suffer together with Jesus Christ, that we may also be glorified together with Him. So, we know that this, brothers and sisters, that by grace we are going on in this. And we're living the reality of more and more abounding. And God is encouraging us here to be sincere in it, clear to the light, transparent. Maybe only Christ in us? What do you think? Is Christ in you the hope of glory? Amen. And Christ in me the hope of glory? Amen. That's when we're not going to be disappointed. And I believe we are getting it. And it goes on to say here, approving the things that are excellent, that ye may be sincere and without offense. And that's a big thing. See, I don't want to stumble you. And by God's grace, don't want to stumble people. This word, offense, it means truly too to be smooth. Don't be rough. We can be a little bit rough in things, not trying to be disagreeable. Don't try to be a burden. What are we reading about? Be a joy. Let the Lord make you a joy. And I say it so sweetly to people, and I've heard it, and so I'm not singling anybody out, so don't get your feathers ruffled here. But I've heard, and I've been in this meeting for this many years too, and I've heard it as well too, and it's a precious thought. But, well, diamonds cut diamonds. You know, every time somebody offends somebody, well, diamonds cut diamonds. Yeah, diamonds do cut diamonds. But the diamonds that cut the diamonds are never set in the crown. Are you listening? The diamonds that cut the diamonds are not set in the crown. The diamonds that receive the cuts are the ones that are set in the crown. God help us. God help us. We abound in this love, brothers and sisters, because it's all Him in us. People see nothing but the life of Jesus Christ. We take no credit for it because there isn't any credit at all, because it's all the grace of God. And God help us, as we'll read, if He tarry, later on in this wonderful letter, that we desire to be found in Him alone, only having the righteousness which is of God by faith. Now, verse 11, here's the evidence of it right now. Being filled with the fruits of righteousness. How about just the fruits of Him, Jesus Christ? Hallelujah. Man, I love that. It's so simple. Christ-like. Those four living ones are Christ-like. Amen? Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. We've got all of that going on. They're like Him. Even when John is walking around up in heaven, that one that's showing him around keeps dropping down in worship. Stop that. That overcomer is so Christ-like. Even Brother John, the one who laid his head upon his breast. The glory is the same. Come on now. God help us to step into that. And I believe Sunday, we talked about a week ago, grace. Well, I just went to grace and glory. So I think we got to finish up with some glory. At least the Lord does. Oh my goodness, maybe we'll be there face to face before we know it. But brothers and sisters, this is the love that abounds in everything in us because we are like Him. Our lives are of Him. And we too have lives that live and breathe the glory of the Father. Yeah, so excited about what He's doing in our lives, brothers and sisters. We please the Father because we give over to Him. And when we give over to Him, He causes us to will and to do of His good pleasure. But when we are self-centered and self-willed, when we are given over to bitterness or anger or trying to be defiant, if that's what we're given over to, we're not these Philippian saints. Our own interests and our self-indulgence has replaced Him in our lives as the first love. And I was thinking as we get into this, we're all full of something. Everybody's full of something. You really are. So what are you full of? I don't want you to answer that loud. We're in church. But I believe you're in Bible study, and I believe that God help us. We do. We serve either God or mammon. We know that. We can't serve two masters. We're either seeking the things that are above or the things of this earth. Our affections are either on the wood, hay, and stubble, or they're on the gold, silver, and precious stone. See, neutral we can't be. We can't. You can try to play it, but it don't work. Because it's not the Word of God. You're either hot or cold. Hot or cold. And God help us to really understand how much grace we really need, huh? And this isn't a kickstart for me or you. This has got to be Him and Him alone. Yeah. But I pray for God's sake that we're full of this wonderful fullness, overflowing, abundant, perfect, complete in all the will of God. It's also known as the fruits of righteousness. He's made you righteous. You got it. You have it. Let the fruit come forth. Yield to Him. Amen. All right. Let's go ahead and we'll quickly just touch on 12 through 14. It says, "But I would you should understand, brethren, that the things which happened unto me have fallen out rather unto the furtherance of the gospel." See, these just weren't bad happenings. This was purpose, specific purpose for the furtherance of the gospel. Do you think that's what's going on in our lives? Do you believe that that's the testimony of the grace of God that you live? Whether it's something in your body or a job that you've lost, you didn't lose it. I hope you know that too. God's got you right in the place. He's having you full of many things. "So that my bonds in Christ are manifest in all the palace and in all other places." Think of that. Just that this testimony goes everywhere. Think about where Paul's testimony has gone. "And many of the brethren in the Lord, waxing confident by my bonds, are much more bold to speak the word without fear." And you think of the time that this was, brothers and sisters. I mean, they were taking people's heads. And they were beating them and imprisoning them and taking their families. But what he's getting at here is, don't think it strange, this fiery trial. Don't think it strange. Take this to ourselves, brothers and sisters. We're living this life by God's grace. We'll never know the real strength of a vessel until it's tested in the storm. And God's going to test us. He is. He's going to try us. You think about these wonderful products that they advertise, you know, whether it's a car or whatever. And they put it in the cold and the North Pole, and then they bring it down to the heat, and they do all these things. They're testing it. God's going to do the same. He's going to test. He's not just testing you to see if. He's showing you to prove it. He's showing you to prove it. This isn't, again, an if. This is a when. And you've already won because he finished it on the cross. He did. It's done. Your victory is yea and amen. It's there. The way of escape has already been made. Praise the Lord. We are more than conquerors through Christ who loved us. Now you think about that, more than conquerors. You think, well, he already finished it. See, we're so much more than that in Jesus Christ. We'll never really even understand it until we get into the time of the exceeding riches of his grace to us. And that's with a glorified body like unto his own. And it's still going to take all the eternities to come to even show us that. But God said it. And you know what? It's so. And that promise has already been given. It's one of the blessings, the manifold blessings, all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ that we have. That we have. Not something that will be. That we have. That God gave specifically to us. So this gospel is proved in us, brothers and sisters. And it was the same as for Brother Paul in the storm. And Romans 8:28 was reigning in Paul and starting to reign in the brothers and sisters in Christ that were around him. Do you see how we supply by God's grace? That when you triumphantly go through a trial and you give God the glory in it, what it does to the joints and the supplying to the body? It's awesome. It's wonderful. Look at it in the eyes of eternity. Look for where we're seated, brothers and sisters. We're not defeated. We're victorious. And by God's grace, when these things happen, I have a brother that was with us for quite some time. I love him so. And I'll let him give the testimony. But he's back and incarcerated. Oh, I felt so bad. But you know what, brother? God has encouraged me that, you know what? He's called me into his very best. And I know that I've failed, but I know his grace is sufficient. And I'm confident that he'll perform that good work which he's begun. I know about the bride. I love the bride. And I'm trusting him to finish the good work. What do you think? Oh, he can't win God's best in prison. Well, where you're saying that from, you're not going to win it either. And I think he's got a better shot than you do. With that spirit. Where was Paul writing this one from? Think about it. Come on. God help us to be delivered from all of our dirty self-righteousness. It stinks. It's awful. Any pride. He wants you to rule and reign jointly with him. He wants to exalt you jointly together with him. He wants to share that glory jointly with you. That's His desire. That's what He wants. This one that loves you so. Don't be, and it's not bashful. It's just shame on you. Oh, you know, I don't want to take that place. I mean, you know, you're telling me that, you know, they're going to come and He's going to make known to all that He's loved us. Come and have them bow down and worship before us. Now, I can't go there. So I said that out to those folks in Kansas City. You're right. You can't go there. But He already went there. He already made that place. What are you going to disrespect Him and not believe in what He's going to say? Because that's a disrespect. See, I do not want to disrespect the Father. He gave that precious Son. He gave Him so freely. God, help us to believe every bit of the Word of God. And not just believe it, but cherish it. It's our food. It's our life. It's our sustenance. It's everything we are. Everything we hope to be. It's our eternity. That's what's impressed upon my heart for you. That's what a preacher preached, the gospel of Christ. Oh, what power it is. You talk about a salvation. It'll save you even from a tribulation. Saves you from yourself 24/7. And praise the Lord, separates you unto Him like, well, I can only tell you, but by my Spirit, yea, the deep things of God. Because you really can't utter those things. There's things that are in secret that you're just going to have to go in for yourself. What do you think? Amen. But see, the gospel, brothers and sisters, is proved in us. Brothers, he's saying to the brethren here, yeah, I'm in prison. Sure, I've been whipped and stoned and spit at and died a few times, drowned, whatever. But hallelujah, it only made the gospel of Christ more evident and real to me and to everybody else than it ever was. That's how God does it. That's how He does it. I'm suffering for Christ's sake here. You can hear how happy He is. This is more joy upon joy. And think again where He is writing this from. The conditions. And yet this is His heart. This is the state. God help us to be quickened just like these other brothers and sisters that were a little bit fearful. Now they preach without fear. How about we just get to living without fear? I won't even talk about the preaching part, but just to live without fear. And it doesn't even compare to the danger that was in a sense, in this day and age for them. Come on, let's be truthful about it. But the faith is still the same. And there's so many more conveniences. Don't you think that we're not fighting a great fight of faith too? And we're appointed to this time. Hallelujah, that we are. But he said, I'm happy. It's known everywhere. Even transcends through time. We're reading about it today. And it's encouraging us. And not only am I not ashamed, the very power of Christ is resting upon me. So I'm in a good state. Wouldn't want to be anywhere else. Got me coming to Bible study tonight. I've got a joy and a peace in my heart. That He has me right where I want. I mean, where He wants. I have a joy and peace in my heart that His faithfulness is having me love His appearing. There's nothing more that I'd want to do than see Him tonight. Let me tell you something. It's been a perfect path. Would you want to change a thing? I hope you wouldn't. I hope you wouldn't. And then it goes on to even say the manifold blessings that are going on as we read here. The brethren... They're not feeling very sorry for themselves anymore when they look at the stripes that I've taken, the way that I've went. Have you thought about that for your own life with Brother Paul? Has that life encouraged you? It's encouraged me many times. Not just that, well, if he did it, I can do it. No, because of the grace of God in him. It wasn't me, it was the grace of God. The grace of God that was with me, he said. The grace of God that works in me. The grace of God that is the all-powerful power. And that so sweetly encouraged these different ones to even get a little bit more bold. Maybe they even were able to sing, "Woe is me if I preach not the gospel of Christ." Yes. And woe is us, I'm going to tell you right now, if we preach not the gospel of Christ. Well, where am I supposed to preach it? In your home. And when he gives utterance and opportunity in places, don't you be obnoxious. Jesus Christ wasn't. Meek, lowly. Amen. Brothers and sisters, it was catching on. If he be for me, who could be against me? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. We're more than conquerors, aren't we? Isn't that awesome? There isn't anything that's come up against us. No weapon formed. Come on. This is who we are. This is who we are in Christ. The Lord is on my side. I will not fear what man can do unto me. Amen? Don't you give that devil any credit. Don't you magnify him at all. Greater is he that's in me than he that's in the world. Praise the Lord. All right, let's stand and be dismissed.